Hallelujah. Welcome to Wednesday night, Hour of Power. What an honor it is to anytime fill this pulpit, but especially on Wednesday night. Pastor, you know, this is his invention, Hour of Power, right? Back from his Bible school days, he told everybody, if I ever have a church, I'm going to have Wednesday night, Hour of Power. And so that means from right now, I'm going to preach for an hour. No, that's not what that means. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, tonight I want to talk to all of us about something I think that is vital if we're going to fulfill God's call on our lives, God's plan for our families, and of course, God's plan for our church. Tonight, if you have a title for my message, it's called The Key of Teamwork, God's Plan. You know, there's a simple truth that I just want to get across tonight. God has designed us to work together. Success in every area of life, of course, the kingdom of God, and isn't about one person standing out, but about the body of Christ functioning together. It's about a family functioning together. It's about a place of employment functioning together. Someone said, either we're pulling together or we're pulling apart. Well, that's the truth. If we're not pulling together, how many of you know we're not going to get there? It's like rowing that boat. If we're not rowing together, we're not going to get to our destination. I like this. This is a Kenyan proverb. Sticks in a bundle are unbreakable. How many of you have ever snapped one stick before? You put a bunch of them together, not so easy, is it? But we live in a world, you know, that celebrates independence. But God has designed us to be interdependent. Now, I realize we're dependent on Him, but He's designed us to work together. Of course, Mrs. Hagin has talked for years about we are a piece of the puzzle. All of us have our puzzle piece. And how many of you ever put a puzzle together? All right, anybody? None of the young people raised their hand. All right, anybody, the puzzle's together. All right, praise the Lord. But you know, every piece has its exact place to be. Have you ever tried to put a piece where it didn't go? And if you push too hard, you break both pieces you're trying to put together, and then it, you know, doesn't work very well. I want to start out by reading Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And I'm going to read scriptures tonight from the King James Bible and from the New Living Translation. That's why I went old school tonight. I brought both Bibles with me. Amen. I've got my iPad here, but sometimes I just like turning to them. And so I like doing that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. King James Bible says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up. Think about that. Two are better than one. Why? Well, because we can get more done together. And of course, if someone stumbles, somebody's there to help you. A man by the name of Cy Wise said this, very few burdens are heavy if everyone lifts. That's so true. Have you ever wondered if anybody else was lifting when you got a group together and you're trying to pick it up? It's like, are you lifting at all? Amen. But when everybody does their part, that's why, you know, no one can whistle a symphony. Can't be done. It takes an orchestra to play it. God works like that. It's not about one voice, but about the harmony of many voices coming together and doing their part. So tonight, we need to ask ourselves, whose load am I going to help carry? Whose hand can I lift? How can I strengthen the team? What's my part, Lord? Help me to know so that I can go together. There's a famous lesson about geese. And we're about ready. It's about that time of the year, you know. We're going to see flocks of geese come flying in. And I'll just warn some of you new Rhema students that the geese like this campus. And I will tell you this, if they lower their head and put their, you don't move, all right? Because they will chase you. And so sometimes we have to have geese removal, but we won't talk about that much. But anyway, but geese fly together. This is a well-known story, but when geese fly in a V formation, scientists tell us they can fly 71% farther than one bird flying alone. Think of that. Each bird flaps its wings and creates uplift for the one behind it. Well, that's the power of a shared direction. When we're united, when we move together towards the same goal, we can go farther. Amen? Whenever a goose falls out of formation, it feels the drag of trying to fly alone and quickly gets back into formation. Well, that's wisdom. Stay accountable to the other team members. We need the lifting power of others. No one's called to do anything alone. I'm going to tell you that right now. I know everybody likes to think about the lone wolf, you know, woo, howling out there. But how many of you know the lone wolf doesn't make it? It's the wolf in the pack. You know, Kipling has a famous saying about that. When that lead goose that's ever in front gets tired, it falls back and another one takes its place. We need to take turns carrying the load, working together. And then the geese in the back, they're constantly honking. Have you ever heard geese fly over? They're always honking. Well, scientists have found out that they're encouraging one another. Keep going. You got this. We're following you. Amen? You know, every leader knows this. It's good to hear the folks behind you that they're coming with you. I remember, you know, remember when Jonathan's armor bearer, and he and Jonathan were going into battle against the army by themselves. The armor bearer didn't have any of his own armor. And Jonathan said, I think, let's go up and let's see if the Lord's with us. Jonathan started up there, and the armor bearer turned, looked at him and said, look, don't look behind you to see if I'm here. I'm with you. I'm here. And together, God did a mighty miracle for them. If one goose gets sick or wounded, two others drop out to help it. They stay until it recovers, and they rejoin the flock. We need to have that kind of compassion. You know, church, we need to be as smart as geese. Amen. What does that mean? Stay in formation. Let me say it another way. Stay in your lane. But how many of you know you got to get in your lane to stay in the lane? Amen. Take turns carrying the load. Encourage one another and stand with each other in difficult times. Look at Galatians chapter 6 with me. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Verse number 2. Galatians 6, 2. This is the King James Bible again. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, we are responsible to help others. And whatever they're doing, whatever God's doing with them, we're responsible to help others. You know, I know as a Bible school student here at Rhema, and, you know, I was 21 years old when I came right out of college to here, and actually I left a year early to come to Rhema because I just knew I was called of God. I thought I was called to be a teacher, and I was pursuing that. You know, I was in the education field, going to go that way. I was only student teaching and one elective class away from having my degree. But the call of God was so strong, I couldn't stay. And I was a member of I was a three-year starter on our college basketball team. I know you can't look at me now and say that, but I was back then. And played on our college golf team. College golf is the greatest thing in the history of the world. Getting to play golf for free. Yeah, and sometimes they drove you to other states to play, and you didn't cost you a dime. In fact, they gave you money to eat on. It was amazing. And then if you were good enough at golf, you had side games going, you're making money off your other teammates. It was a wonderful thing. But I left that to come to Rhema. Amen? Because of the call of God. Hallelujah. But I know in thinking about it, I always thought, well, what am I going to do? You know, what was it doing? And I always thought, you know, it'd kind of be interesting. I would probably like it to travel, you know, the world and get to go on missions trips and stuff like that. But I never did. I just got involved. I didn't know what to do after Rhema. And, of course, Rhema Bible Church wasn't here then. If it would have been, I might have made a different choice, but it wasn't here yet. But I just knew to go back home and get involved. I just started volunteering. I ran the soundboard. The worship leader asked me to sing with him a few times, so I did that. I was doing whatever needed, and that pastor had just gotten there that January of 84. I got there after graduation May. I mean, the day after graduation, we were loaded up. We were headed 500 miles to Central Illinois. But we got, and so I was just part, but within 30 days, he'd asked me to be his associate pastor, his youth leader, and his worship leader. Amen. Did that for over 9 years there at that church. Then went 6.5 years down to Kentucky and was there. But all the while doing another, helping someone else bring what God had called them to do, being a part of their team and helping them do what God had called them to do. And in the midst of that, after a few years, I had the opportunity to start making trips. And most of you know that, you know, I've been to Kenya. Now, this will be the 30th year anniversary this next year, 1996. I made my first trip to Kenya. And I didn't do that. I didn't have to make it happen. I'm just helping somebody else do what God called them to do, being part of the team, and God opened up the doors. I think so many people are going out there trying to make something happen. But if you'll just get busy, be a part, add your supply to the supply, to wherever you are. I had a student one day, he was actually at the house next door to us. He was a graduate. He said, what's the, you know, and I'd only been here a couple years at that time. Well, I guess it was, well, 2004, 5, 6, somewhere in there. He asked me, he said, what's the biggest mistake you think graduates make? Well, I said, to me, it's if they stay here, they're not involved in church, or if they leave, they don't get involved in church. If you're not involved in church, you're backslidden. I'm not going to take that back. That's the truth. You know, you start watching people, if they quit showing up for church, you better check on them. Because something's happening. Amen. Glory to God. Anyway, let's move on, all right? Well, here are a few, I think it was Sunday night, could have been a Wednesday night, Pastor Bill was preaching on one of these, and he was talking about Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. And so I'm trying, you know, I'm following along with him and looking in the scriptures and all of a sudden something jumped off the page at me, and I'm trying to mind my own business. I'm trying to pay attention to what he's saying, but and I know it was a good sermon because people were amening, but I got lost because God started telling me something, and I saw something I never seen. So I want you to go to Numbers chapter 1. It's not just a good idea to be in your place and be part of the team. It's God's plan. It is God's plan. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, he gave them something. He talked to them about staying in their place. Here in Numbers chapter 1, this is the New Living Translation. Now verse 50, because this is what Pastor Bill was preaching on that night, so I kind of got him out of there. But here's verse 51 and 52. Whenever it is time for the tabernacle to move, the Levites will take it down. And when it is time to stop, they will set it up again. But any unauthorized person who goes too near the tabernacle must be put to death. We know that happened when David brought the tabernacle back. He did it wrong and somebody touched it and died. But look at verse 52. Each tribe of Israel will camp in a designated area with its own family banner. And then he spends in chapter 2 talking about these different divisions. Every tribe had a place. Every family had a banner. There was no confusion. God himself had arranged this formation. And if you stepped out of order, tried to get too close, or you got yourself outside of God's protection and blessing. So God's plan wasn't just for organization. It ensured that each person would receive the benefits that were designed for them. Now, in chapter 2 here, let's read just the first few verses here, then we'll drop down to the last part of it. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then the Lord gave the instructions to Moses and Aaron. When the Israelites set up camp, each tribe will be assigned its own area. The tribal divisions will camp beneath their family banners on all four sides of the tabernacle, but at some distance from them. And he talks about the divisions of Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, or to camp towards the sunrise of the east side of the tabernacle. So he lines this all out. And finally, he gets down to verse 32. It says, in summary, the troops of Israel listed by their families totaled 603,550. But as the Lord had commanded, the Levites were not included at this registration. So the people of Israel did everything as the Lord commanded Moses. Each clan and family set up camp and marched under their banners exactly as the Lord had instructed him. Well, what's he telling us here? We need to stay in our camp. We need to stay with our banner. Go to Acts chapter 4 for a moment. We'll read this in the King James Bible. I don't know how many times I heard Brother Hagin, as we call him, Kenneth E. Hagin. Now, some of you have been around here a while, don't realize it, but that's, to these new students, that's Brother Hagin right there. You say Brother Hagin, they don't know of Brother Hagin. And I know you can't fathom, those of you who have been around here, a lot of them have never even read a book by Kenneth E. Hagin. Amen. But they are now. They're reading books by all the Brother Hagins that we have, you know, that are here, that have books. But Brother Hagin would always talk about this. I don't know how many times I was back at a minister's conference or at a homecoming, and he would talk about this, about Peter and John being let go after they were questioned about the man that was healed at the gate. And he'd get here to chapter 4, look at verse 23, and it says this, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them." And he would say this every time. Everybody needs a company of believers to be a part of. Everybody. A community where they find, and I added this, where you can find strength, fellowship, recovery, and direction. Anytime you step away from that, you're going to miss it. I want you to think about this way. Think about the body of Christ. Not one cell in the body of Christ is exactly the same. Yet, there are certain parts of the body that are supposed to be in certain places. Right? How many of you know your elbow, everything that's supposed to be in the elbow is right here. It doesn't need to be down in the hand. In fact, if your elbows, joints, muscles, tendons, and all that, the bones are down in your hand, something bad's happened. Don't get out of your place. Now, does the elbow appreciate everything else at the bottom of the body? Yeah, I appreciate my knee. My elbow appreciates those feet. It appreciates the legs. It really appreciates the heart. And couldn't do a thing without the brain, thank God. Right? But it needs to stay in the elbow. And have you ever dislocated a joint before? That's no fun. That's painful. Very painful. I saw, you know, I think he went to, did he go to OSU 1 year, Tyreek Hill? But he just dislocated his knee this weekend playing football. That's painful. If you've ever dislocated, I'll never forget when I was playing in high school basketball, we were playing in the regional tournament, and one of our forwards, he was on defense, reached out to get a ball, and all of a sudden I saw him grab his hand, and he came over, and he had one of his fingers, it was probably the finger you don't hold up in public, you know what I'm saying? It was that finger, it was going 3 or 4 different directions. He had dislocated it. Didn't fracture it. I was amazed he didn't fracture it, but he had dislocated it. And you know how some people are. I know the coach said, "Oh, just pull on it, Robbie." His name was Robbie. "Just pull on it, Robbie. It'll be all right." It wasn't all right. It was. But you don't want it to get dislocated. Stay apart. As we said, Kipling said, "The strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack." God designed it that way. So when we stay connected and we operate in unity and we fulfill our God-given roles, we receive the benefits He intended. Think about that in a family. We're talking about in the church, but think about that in a family. When you've got the husband loving the wife like Christ loves the church, and you got the wife submitting to her husband as unto the Lord, and you got the children obeying the parents, and you got the parents not provoking, and the father and the mother not provoking their children to wrath, and everybody's in their place, everybody's doing their part, that's heaven on earth. That's a good thing. Glory to God. Now, it doesn't mean you don't ever have any problems and tests and trials, but how many of you know it's a whole lot easier when you're together to overcome those things. Amen. I know we worked for 6.5 years for Pastor Pat Butcher there in Carrollton, Kentucky. And Pat and I were friends here at Rhema. And so we would talk, say, what would we do if we didn't have our wives? We both agree we both probably weigh about 400 pounds. We'd probably have a satellite dish on top of the church. We'd live at the church, just watch sports all the time, never do a thing, you know, just, you know what I'm saying? Just put our laundry out in the trash, go get new clothes there, you know what I'm saying? But thank God, God didn't leave us alone. Woo, we found a good thing. Obtained favor and grace from the Lord. When we get out of order, We get out of touch, we hinder ourselves from the fullness of God's plan. So, what does it take to make a team work? What kind of spirit, what kind of attitude do we need? Well, number one, humility. Humility. John Wooden, famous basketball coach of the UCLA Bruins, said this: "There is no limit to what can be accomplished when no one cares who gets the credit." That's very important. See, true teamwork doesn't ask, well, who's going to get notice? Teamwork says, did the job get done? Amen. Did it get done? Not, you know, and I think because of being in sports and I had, you know, success and that type of stuff, but I just found out, you know, I'd rather... I remember one time when I was in eighth grade, we were playing one of our rivals there in Central Illinois, and we were playing Riverton. Riverton had this kid that ended up going and playing 4 years at Penn State at basketball. He was 6'7" when he was a senior in high school. He's my age. He was a really good player. Well, this is eighth grade we're playing them. And in that game, I scored 36 points in eighth grade. And we lost. And their team, you know, their team, because we didn't have anybody that could play with him. And so I had guys pat me on, and I got furious in the locker room. And I just finally screamed at him, "We lost!" See, I'd rather score 0 points and win than score 36, woo, and have people pat me on the back, and we go away with an L. But see, if we'll stay together, we'll stay together. Amen. There's one team, another team, Rochester, all growing up, they used to just beat the tar out of us. Beat the tar out of us. But by the time I became a junior, we came back on them and beat them. And then the next year, we played them at their place. They went to the state tournament. We were a division above them, so we did. But they always beat us. 2 years in a row, we took them down. Amen. See, the L, that L doesn't mean, I'd rather have that W, glory to God. Let's win. Well, if we'll stay together, we'll win. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, talks about honor. That's the second thing. We need humility and we need honor. Romans 12 says, verse 10 says, we're to honor, in honor, prefer one another. What does that mean? We're supposed to give value and honor to whom honor's due. See their gift. Recognize them. See the worth of each team member. I know my son after high school ended up going up to Rogers State for a year and was on the basketball team there, scholarshiped up there. But, you know, as a freshman, they were using the transfer portal back then. And they brought a lot of guys in it's a Division II school, and they brought a lot of D1 players in that had, you know, they weren't playing much, but they were good players. So he didn't get a whole lot of playing time. But that next year, he was here at Rhema that next year. But that team went on and won their conference that next year, and he called the coach just to say congratulations. And that coach told him, Tanner, you have a part of this. Because you practiced hard every day last year. You made us better every day last year. Even though you didn't get a lot of playing time, you made us better. And this, you have a part of this championship. See, it doesn't matter. You may never get recognized. You may never even get on the floor. You may never get on the platform. But if you do your job, you have a part of the victory. Teamwork. Well, that's if we'll honor one another, we don't care. I'm going to honor you. I'll promote you and your gift. I'll promote you. I'll help you fulfill what God's called you to do. Humility, honor. The next one is trust. Fran Reese says the trust is the cornerstone of a successful team. Think about this. Without trust, there's no unity. Humility, honor, trust. Then, of course, the big one is we're going to have to love each other. Well, we could spend a lot of time talking about, just go to 1 Corinthians 13, just camp there for decades, right? That's 10 years at a time, see, decade, if you don't know that. But we're to love one another. Love is patient and kind, not self-seeking. Love's what holds a team together. You, a lot of times, you know, you hear people talk about their teams, their championship teams in professional sports or different things like that. And then you find out that they talk about how much they love and respect one another. Amen. I'll just brag on this pastoral staff. We love one another. We have a lot of fun. Amen. We joke with one another and love one, and we work hard, but we love one another. Amen. Hallelujah. That comes from the head down. They love us. We love them. But we work together. We don't care. We don't care who preaches. We don't care who does that. It doesn't matter. We're not looking for, you know. Hallelujah. We're for one another. We need to be for one another. As Pastor Hagin has said many times, there is no I in team. None of us can clap without both hands, right? It's hard to do. We had one of my dear people I've ever met, one of my friends, Jeff Bardell. He spoke here at a men's conference one year. Jeff graduated from here. Jeff lost his right arm in a industrial accident when he was 18 years old, getting ready to go to Appalachian State and play baseball. He's a good baseball player, but he lost his arm that summer. But he learned how to golf one-handed, and he was on our golf team here. And he was so adept at doing things, I forgot that he only had one arm. But he would do that every once in a while. He would just hold his hand up and do this. I said, "What are you doing?" "I'm clapping." Amen. He's been doing some stand-up comedy. He preaches. He gets people saved everywhere he preaches. But he's been doing some stand-up comedy, and I know what he's doing. He's probably doing some of that stuff. We'd be out there at the driving range. We played at Battle Creek at that time. They let us play out there, and we'd be out there and hitting balls, you know. And people would always—they'd always stop and watch Jeff. Even when we went to tournaments, they'd always watch him, you know, just because they'd never seen anybody do what he could do that way. And he would always—people would ask him. And in golf, what your average score is to par is called your handicap. So if par is 72 and you usually shoot 85, you've got a 13 handicap. All right, you understand how that works? People would walk up to him, and he, without fail, would do this. They'd say, "Well, so what's your handicap?" And he'd just deadpan look at him. He'd say, "I've only got one arm." And they'd start apologizing. "Oh, oh, oh." The other thing he would do, I'm going to have to let him know I talked about him tonight. The other thing he would do is people would say, "Well, what kind of clubs have you got?" They'd want to see what he was hitting, you know, if they were some different type of club. He said, "Well, I got these." He said, I wanted this other set, but they wanted an arm and a leg for those. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I don't know what they had to do this, but it was good to talk about. Oh, you can't clap just with one hand. Well, he did, but you know what I'm saying. It makes no noise. We need one another. So sometimes the other guys on the team would run up to him and put their hand up, and he'd sit there and clap their hand. That bunch, you couldn't get away with anything with that bunch. So how do we live this out? Well, in the church, serve in your place. Encourage others. Communicate. Don't isolate yourself. Well, if you're not apart, it's not anybody's fault but you. And so, you know, "Well, I've tried to..." Well, you know, the other thing is, you know, I realize... Now, anytime we ask for help, everybody can help in certain things. But there are some things you have to have some gifting from God to be in those places. And that's all right. If you don't have that gift, thank God for it. I was remembering Brother Hagin, we were kind of talking about this, talking about ministry-wise. I think Angela brought something up about it, you know. But Brother Hagin used to say, I remember him telling us as students, if you can do something else and feel fulfilled and be happy and not preach, go do that. But if you can't, but preach with all your heart, but realize there's a price to pay. Amen? Well, find out what it is that God's called you to do. And get in there and do it. Remember this, the body of Christ needs every member. Every member. like talking about Jeff, he had to compensate. He told me, he said, every day something happens, I got to think, how can I do this? How can I do this? I remember we were in Kenya. He went to Kenya with me one time. All of us were getting some hot water, tea, or coffee afterwards. And it was you had to hold your coffee cup with one hand or whatever and do it, handle the other. I said, Jeff, do you want some tea or coffee? He goes, well, I do, but I don't know how I can do that. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Because like I said, he was so smooth at things, I didn't even think about it. And that's when he told me, he said, every day something happens. I don't know. I got to think how I can do that. Amen. But that's what we in the body of Christ, we need to make sure we're doing our part. Do our part. What about in the home? Well, there needs to be teamwork. You husbands and wives, work together. Parent together. Take care of the house. Don't just, it's not a one person ruling over the other. Fight for each other, not against each other. Amen. In the workplace, honor God by being cooperative. Don't be difficult. That place of business ought to be blessed because you're there. They ought to be blessed. And I'll say this to you, and I hope you understand how I'm saying this, but you're probably not hired to preach. But if you'll just live like Jesus and live like a Christian, you'll preach more than you could ever say with your words. Because then they'll start asking you, well, why aren't you all upset? Well, do you really want to know? Well, yeah, I really want to know. Well, I know the Lord. The Lord, who's then you've got the opportunity. They've approached you. But be cooperative. Be faithful on your job. Amen. Be faithful. Show up ahead of time. Stay a little bit late if you have to. Show some faithfulness. It's a well-known thing that when it comes time to look for people to promote, it's not those who are getting there late and leaving early that get the promotion. It's those folks. Amen. Yep. You know, Amanda found this out with our family. You know, my dad was always early to everything. Except church. When I grew up, we grew up in a denominational church. If you got there early in that church, you sat in the back. Everybody fought to get there early to sit in the back. We never were early, so guess what? We sat in the second row almost all the time. My mom, my dad, and my two sisters, and I, five of us sitting there, you know, right on the second row. I can't say much because Amanda and her family were over in the next, usually in the next section, up on the second or third row too. Amen. But we were always early. Now, I'm not saying 5 minutes. No. I'm talking about over the top early. It was good. You know, if he said, look, we're gonna leave at such and such a time, you better be ready no later than 15 minutes early to leave. How early did he show up to go to the zoo? 40 minutes early from the time we said we were going to leave. They all rolled in to our house to get us in our car to go on. She was like, what? I said, I tried to tell her. Be honest, you married folks. How many of you found out things about your wife's or husband's family that you had no idea about and you thought they were insane? Amen. Glory to God. Let me finish this up real quick. Even at work, be supportive of your team. Vince Lombardi said this, we'll close with this. Individual commitment to a group effort, that is what makes a team work, a company work, a society work, a civilization work. I challenge you tonight, commit yourself to take your place in God's formation, in your company. Don't fly alone, stay with the flock. Together we can go farther, faster, and stronger. We work together. God's blessings are going to be in our life. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand up together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you tonight. As we just shared from your word, I thank you, Father God, that you've put us together and you've designed the body of Christ, that it has pleased you, each one member in our place. Father, I just pray that you'd help each and every one of us, hallelujah, to get in that place. Amen. We just give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Of course, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God's got a plan for you, but you need to get with Him, find Him, meet Jesus, become a child of God, and He'll help you get in your place. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus, or maybe you kind of walked away from your relationship with God, or if you have need of any other prayer need whatsoever, men, come over here to our man who's working on this side, our ladies on this side. Ladies, come to the ladies, men to the men, and they'll pray with you according to the Word of God, and we believe you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands with two or three people. Tell them I'm part of the team. Amen, and you can be dismissed tonight.